the passage read from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 20, and we'll read at verse 1. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 20, verse 1, for the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard, and so on. You will notice that this section of the chapter goes right down to verse 16. Here, and it's not my intention to try to go into every detail of the parable. It is a parable, as we have many parables in the Bible, taken from earthly things of nature, illustrating the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. I want to point out again that this is a continuation of the from what we had in the previous chapter, the last two Sabbaths, and in the this morning, and it's a continuation from the 30th verse of the preceding chapter, that many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And that thought is at the heart of this particular parable. There are many things in the kingdom of men that are first and things that are last. But it's the opposite order in the kingdom of God. As I said in the morning, the kingdom of God is heavenly and spiritual. It is eternal and it is everlasting. Now, to try to give some hints of it and what may be intended in the parable, there are three things that we will specifically notice. Firstly, the hire of the laborers into the vineyard. Secondly, the terms of agreement. They were hired irrespective of what time of day that they were called to go to work in the vineyard. It was a penny a day. Then there is a reward, thirdly, at the end of the day. And how the householder and the steward treats each one of those who labored, whether it be the third hour of the day or the 11th hour of the day. Then I want to give one or two thoughts by way of application at the end, the Lord helping us in the matter. Well, the hire of the laborers. We read that the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder. That is, we believe, an illustration of the householder with a very large family. and with a vineyard, which is a representation of the church. But this concept of the householder is the thought of the Creator who has made all things. But the Creator is our Redeemer. And we were singing in the first psalm, gives a picture of how large the house is. The earth belongs unto the Lord and all that it contains, the world that is inhabited and all that there remains. And remember that the inhabited world, ever before it was created, we read in Proverbs 8, under the name of divine wisdom, the person of Christ that's speaking, that his delights, he rejoiced in the habitable parts of his earth, and his delights were with the sons of men. And of course the vineyard, it is God himself, the good man of the household, as it's described under the parable and the figure. It's him who established the vineyard, the church, and where many are called to go and labor in that vineyard. But of course, perhaps you're already thinking in your own minds, in the light of the conclusion of this scene, verse 16, so the last shall be first and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. And perhaps that's already posing a difficulty in your minds, but we will try to explain it as we go along. As it's a continuation of the morning address and the subject of the close of chapter 19, I just want to say, I made several references to what those who would have if they followed Christ. And I spoke about certain things, about trouble and trial in the kingdom of God and so on. And this was something I meant to say in connection with the subject of the morning. And it's included here, the words, the first, but many that are first shall be last. And the last first. I was going to say, and I should have said it with regards to give encouragement to any, especially to any young person that would take up the cross and follow Christ. Now, while there is no, we're not living in an age of physical persecution and opposition as previous generations were, I would like to say that, and in perhaps in some ways it's almost worse, that if a young person begins to follow Christ, he must be prepared, or she must be prepared for this. And that is to be mocked, especially by their peers. And that can be a very difficult thing and a very discouraging thing. But that's something one will have to endure in this life. And let me tell you something, if you do endure it, you'll be recompensed for it. You'll be no loser. I can tell you that. You must expect it. And I do believe I do believe that it is one of the difficulties today when the gospel has got out of fashion, or church going is going out of fashion, very much out of fashion. It is so difficult now to try to get young people to come to church, and even with their parents today, that the stumbling block, I believe, a great part of this is what their peers will think of them. Just mention that. One of the things I would say is pay no attention and give little heed to what an ungodly world says or thinks. What an ungodly world says or thinks, it's of little consequence. Let them mock if they will. And I would also, irrespect of what your situation may be, one situation may be, and especially going out into the world and going out, not least going out into the careers of study and work, beware of your associations. Be careful. It's an evil world. It's a world that is full of snares. And I would say also, give this advice, beware also of the places of entertainment. Irrespective of what your peers do, or even what your seniors may do. And I think if they want, even within one's own family, they want to go with the world, let them go with the world. And I think this is what is behind, you see, that the spirit that lies, the disposition of one's spirit here in following Christ. To everyone that has forsaken houses or brethren, sisters or father or mother, or wife or children or lands, for my name's sake in the Gospels. That's the principle involved. There's an awful lot involved here. And I just give, I did mean to branch out a little bit in that in the morning. I forgot, and anyway, my time ran away with me. But this is all part of the same scene. And our text, this parable, is part of that scene, a part of this whole subject. First of all, the hire and the laborers. And there's nothing fancy in this at all. No great depth of interpretation. It is quite simple, you know. The kingdom of heaven is like to a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers in the vineyard. I mentioned about the size of the house, but which just contains the whole world and its inhabitants. But I want to. Wherever the gospel comes, there you have the church and the vineyard. Firstly, it was amongst the Jews. But it's something that is established in all places and peoples of the earth. Different points of the world's history, it's established in the nations, the vineyard, God's vineyard. And he looks for laborers to work in it. It began with the Jews, but I'm not going to dwell on that particular point. But the house is, or the hire, the hiring laborers. The simple The simple application of this, we believe, is simply the privileges and the blessings of the gospel freely offered under a parable. Now, there's nothing difficult about that, because you hear about that. Practically every Sabbath day, and the higher is nothing more than God's free promise of grace through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in that field in the light of that benefit that you have, in the light of the free offer of the gospel and the free mercy of Christ, you are called to labor. I'll say a little bit perhaps more about the labor later. That's just all what it means. And I'm not going into any great interpretation. Some commentators go into various interpretations of these things of the parable, but I rather think that some of them are going far too far. And one is, you know, the principles of interpretation of Scripture are very important. Very important. And we have, and preachers of the gospel have to be very careful here that they don't add, I don't like saying adding tales, but adding interpretations that the Holy Spirit never intended. I'm keeping it simple, but I believe that that is just what is simply intended. The gospel and its privileges freely offered, the free promise of Christ, or the free promise of grace through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's wherever the vineyard is or the church is, where that is established, where sinners gather, few or many, we are called to labor. The second thing I was going to try and discuss with you is the terms of agreement or contract, we might say, as that is commonly used today. They were hired, and there is the promise of wages here, and certain hours of the day are mentioned: the third, sixth, the ninth, and the 11th hour. And that is, you know, the hours from sunrise to sunset. And of course, we can apply another scripture. It's in the day that men ought to labor. The night cometh when no man can work. But to try and explain a little of this is in the parable. For it is just a parable describing the kingdom of heaven. The first being last, the last first. Many called, but few chosen. We read there, for example, from verse 3, he went out about the third hour, saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right will give you. And they went their way. But all was agreed for a penny a day. It's the second verse, when he had agreed with the laborers the conditions and the terms. Now, some of you know and understand that from every sort of point of view with your employers, and those who work for an employer, you have agreements for wages and so on, weekly, monthly, whatever, hear that what's used, he agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, the conditions were sent, everybody's equal. That's another important point in the parable. Whether it's the third hour, the sixth, the ninth, the 11th, all are equal. No more, no less. And that's a practical point that I will try to come back to. But this, I just want to point out firstly about the Roman penny. It's a penny a day. Now, that was the Roman penny. Jews at this time were under the Romans. And the language is taken from this payment, this term of agreement was what the Jews commonly paid laborers for a day's work. That's where it's taken from, Roman penny. Now you might say, compared with pennies, pretty poor wages for laborers, especially if you started at the third hour, perhaps not so much for those who began at the 11th hour. But the Roman penny was what much was it suggested that in our money, it was something like seven and a half pence, under the old money system. I read that somewhere, but that's beside the point just now. And but we read here that he went out at different times of the day. That's the goodness of God. But I want you to bear in mind, and I say it again, I repeat it, the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is very different to the kingdom of men. But that was the terms of labor. No more, no less, whether it was the third hour of the day or the 11th hour of the day. Now there's an obvious lesson to be grasped from this. You could never work on these terms of agreement, certainly not in the modern day, or hardly even in olden days or so, things were different. But the kingdom of God, as I said, is equal. No favorites. No favoritism. Even although it says in the text that we had in the morning, verse 28 of chapter 19, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye shall also sit upon the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. There is no doubt the apostles who followed Christ, who were to be such instruments in the church of Christ, would have a preeminence. But they only have this preeminence in this sense, as I understand it, that because they were the inspired writers of the Bible. And I actually think, I don't want to be dogmatic, but that in verse 28 of the previous chapter, sitting upon the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel, it's the prominence that's given to these men is simply this, that the whole vineyard, the church of Christ, is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief corner stone. But there is no, you see, the salvation that came to Peter, James, and John, the salvation that came to the Jews, is the same salvation that came to the Gentiles, to the whole Gentile world. And it's the same salvation that is offered in the privileges of the gospel. That's God's agreement with sinners. No more and no less. And People should remember this, whether they're called in the third hour of the day, whether they're called in the sixth hour or the ninth hour or the 11th hour. The terms are the same. No respect of persons with God. He's just, shall not the judge of all the earth do right, and as it's stated in the narrative. In verse 15, is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? It arises out of the free bounty of God. Bear that in mind. Salvation is a gift. And so there's this figure of labor. I'll come back to it later on. The fact of the matter is that when it comes to salvation and to have a true part in the kingdom of God, it arises out of free grace. And that's what's intended by the payment. And for all. Where they're saved, you see, I want to just go on to explain, you see, what might be intended between the third hour, the sixth, the ninth, and the 11th hour. And we, the Church of the Jews, as far as the vineyard was concerned, and the established, the man that is a householder, and containing all that is in the world, you see, the Jews were, we could say the Church of the Jews was the first vineyard to be established in the earth, early in the history of the world. And particularly from Moses down to the coming of Christ and the development of time of the Jewish world that had the church and its privileges was right down its long history, although there were interruptions. But what I was going to say was this, we might compare. It is appropriate, I think, to make a comparison that the 11th hour, you see, when Christ Jesus came into the world, the Savior of the world, fulfilling all that the Old Testament prophets did write, this was the 11th hour of the Jewish church. The last hour of the day of grace. The last hour of mercy to the Jews. And then, of course, from that point onwards, especially from the resurrection of Christ, and particularly after Pentecost in AD 70, the vineyard was planted in the Gentile world. And it has been planted, the household that has been planting this vineyard, down through the ages of the Church of God, in the nations. And it's come to Britain, it's come to Scotland, and the household that has planted it in Scotland and has been planted in the island of North Uist over many generations. And in Lewis and Harris as well. And you see, and I've quoted the text that we're to work while we have the day, the night cometh, when no man can work. See, the day of grace is passing. And that may also have an indication of what the hours mean. A goal to work in the vineyard. And so on. Go to work in the vineyard. Go and labor there. Go and seek salvation there. That's labor. Or perhaps you're too busy laboring in some other way. perhaps laboring under the law, laboring under your own works and goodness. But you've got to remember the promise of him who says, "Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You see, it's the free promise of Christ and free grace. And that's the emphasis in the wages. It can be applied in this sense too about the hour, the third hour of the day, the sixth and ninth hour of the day, the 11th hour of the day. You see, the third hour of the day may suggest that some are called to labor in the vineyard for they're very young in life, in youth, and that's the best time to begin laboring in God's vineyard, in God, to become a member of this household, and to be sent into the vineyard to labor for Christ. And what a blessed situation it is when one is in the providence of God, born into a Christian community, a Christian family, a Christian church. And in this very years, early years, trained and instructed in the things of God. That's the labor. And when young men and young women are converted in their early years, that's the best time of life. But it's better late than never. Better late than never. Some are converted in the third hour. Some later on, perhaps, as young men or young women. Some, perhaps, in more advanced years. And here's the great wonder of it. Others are converted in the evening time of their night of life, the 11th hour of the day. But the wages are the same. Those who are chosen to salvation, the grace that is given in the third hour is to say, grace that is given that saves in the 11th hour. Wonder of wonders. Wonder of wonders that any are saved at all. And there's perhaps another wonder that we should just hint at. And that is, you see, when he went out to the third hour of the day, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. The word idle, it comes across idleness. See, in the marketplace here, they weren't in the vineyard. They were taken up with other things. And the thing is, what's to be noticed again about idleness, in the sixth verse, about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and saying to them, "Why stand ye here all the day idle?" If we're understanding this doctrine aright, imagine, you know, think of it, if you had, well, some of you had, you don't have vineyards, we don't have vineyards over here, but you have fields. And if you were, see, if you had terms of agreement and you were employing people to help you at spring work or at harvest time or whatever, and you would have an agreement, and of course you know yourselves without me telling you, the early part of the day is the best time for starting if that's possible. But You wouldn't be very happy, would you, if your labourers were starting, getting later and later in the day to work. And indeed, when you look at the 11th hour, why not wait till the next day, so to speak? That's in the ordinary course of matters. But, of course, this is the kingdom of God we're speaking about. And the kingdom of God is totally contrary to this principle, to the principles of earthly kingdoms, as I've said and repeated. But think of this in the light of the sixth verse. In the church of God, being idle, not neglecting it in that sense, but this point of going through the whole of life, so to speak, under the gospel, and all these years in the world and never laboring for one's salvation, but still at the 11th hour, so the time is late, the night of old age descending. What a wonder it is that there is salvation for such. And the good man of the household, says, go to work in my vineyard. That's grace, and it's wonderful grace. Ah, the night cometh when no man can work. There's something I want to further say on this by way of application in the end. But these were the terms and the condition. Well, terms and conditions of the kingdom of God are different to the terms and conditions of men. I want to come thirdly to the reward. The receiving of wages, the time of payment, when the parable says that at verse 8, so when the evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire. That's the reward. I explained what the hire was, the reward of grace. The free promise of Christ, those who labored. But notice in the end of verse 8, he says, begin at the last, even unto the first. Now that may, of course, may have references to the rewards at the end of the day when Christ shall come, the last day, and where the chosen of God shall enter into the fullness of glory. But that's not the application I am taking at this present time. I am more trying to concentrate on what is here and now and the day of grace, and that sinners would obtain salvation. But it's quite a thought, you see, that beginning from the last unto the first. You see, there's wide interpretation here, and there's one thing I want to say, that, and this is where we have to be so careful, and men in judging and coming to conclusions. You see, as I heard the late Fraser MacDonald saying years ago in my own house, he said that grace is totally contrary to the natural thinking of man. And here's the great wonder, that people you would expect to be first in the kingdom of God may very well be last, and the last first. And what I mean by that is that people that you will never expect to be converted, brought in into grace, into a state of grace, and called to labor in the vineyard of the church and under the blessings of the gospel, and coming to obtain salvation through the bounty of God, the free mercy of Christ. See, See, God's ways are not our ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Totally contrary to the natural thinking of man. That's how the kingdom of God operates. But there is this thought, we read also in the parable, that when they came, they that were hired about the 11th hour, they received any man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny, and when they received it, oh, what a wonder it was even granted. They murmured against the good man of the house. And one interpretation given here is, I just want to touch on it, and what's there in verses 10 and 11 is this, that the murmuring of the Jews, I mentioned earlier, the Jews were the church of the Jews is where God first planted his vineyard. And the Jews objected to the Gentiles coming into the kingdom of God and being received on the same basis, upon the same grace, upon the same salvation as the Jews, on the same terms, on the same wages, on the same agreement. You see, I made that explanation of possible interpretation. The Jews, referring to the Jewish church, the third hour of the day. There were those in the Jewish church who labored, and of course the Jews as a nation labored in God's vineyard. But not all were chosen. Not all came to salvation. Not all of the seed of Abraham were in the kingdom of God. But those of Jews and Gentiles. Yes, the Jew first and then the Gentile. But both Jews and Gentiles built upon the same foundation of the grace of God in the same kingdom, in the same privileges, in the same gospel. Oh, my friends, don't be idle when the day of grace is still with you. We often use the expression, it's a common expression of people being idle and lazy and loafers. Spurgeon uses that word quite readily, and we all understand what that is. What I mean is idle in the spiritual sense. Regarding our interest in Christ, when we're sent to labor in the vineyard, we are to seek salvation. We are to seek salvation. Whether we're at the third hour of the day, in life, the sixth hour, the ninth hour, even the 11th hour. We're not to be idle under gospel ordinances. The question is asked in the word, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? But I've already explained the payment for the last of the first. And men have no right to quarrel with God's dealings. That's also in the parable. And we're not to murmur. You know, if the question ever arises in your own mind, why some are saved, others, some saved, perhaps some unexpected people saved, and you're still who you are under gospel ordinances, are you going to complain against the good man of the house because so-and-so got salvation and you didn't? Why can I not get it? Well, if you're obedient to the call of the gospel, you will get it. But when you see others, if you see others converted and brought to salvation before you, the last first, the first last, whether it's in a congregation, whether it's in your home, whether it's in your family, do you know what that should do? It should make you more diligent to labor more faithfully, more successfully, that you would obtain salvation. Come and murmur against God. The doctrine, the wonderful doctrine of the sovereignty of God is brought out, particularly in the 15th verse. He says to the man, didn't keep salvation from him, from those who were brought in the third hour. Didn't keep salvation from him. It is not lawful for, he says, take that thine is. That what belongs to you. It's the same terms, it's the same agreement. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee, without difference, without respect of persons. And here is the doctrine of the divine sovereignty. Of God that doeth right, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Verse 15, is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? Ah, we cannot escape it. I will have mercy. On whom I will have mercy? Whom he will, he harms. Vessels of wrath, even in the church, fitted for destruction. But here's the wonder, the vessels of mercy, prepared for glory. Could I not do what I will with mine own? It's his to give. It's his to give you. And if you labor in the vineyard, not in the footing of your own merit and works or righteousness, but on the footing of free grace, exclude your merit, exclude your own worthiness, and you'll have salvation. Whether it's in the third hour, the third hour, the sixth, the ninth, the 11th. Although I give this warning, the third hour, youth of life, is the best time to seek salvation, find Christ, and labor for Christ. But it is better late than never. Finally, by way of application, I want to ask you, every one of you here, a pertinent question under the gospel. You've been under the gospel all these years. All of you, most of you, I think. And are you still idle under it as far as your own salvation is concerned? I want to ask you this pertinent question. What hour of the day is it with you? Is it the third hour? two or three young people here. It's the third hour with you. But what about the rest of you who have been here many years? The summer has passed, this harvest is ended. Or the harvest is past and the summer is ended and you are not saved. Is it the sixth hour? Well, some of you are past your adolescence years. You're married, you're grown up. You're in your 50s, 60s. You're coming towards the ninth hour. And you're still standing idle. And you're regarding your salvation. And what about you at the 11th hour, to coming to the close of life? The 70 years and more are now on you. And are you still idle? You haven't sought Christ. You haven't labored for salvation. Another communion season is drawing near. And the death of Christ is to be among us, remembered among us again. And there'll be gospel ordinances. Are you going to labor? Remember, it's going to come to an end. The night cometh when no man can work. So what should we be doing? If we've got a concern about whatever hour of the day it is with you, you're called unto the vineyard to seek Christ immediately. Now there may be others of you who perhaps are laboring. I hope there are some that are laboring over this matter of not only their interest in Christ, but thinking perhaps secretly of their potential usefulness to Christ and the cause of Christ. I lay it before you. Well, here's what you are to do. To labor in the vineyard of God, in the vineyard of the good householder who has given you your being, who has included you in his family. And you're baptized and you're in the church of Christ. And if you've got the interest in the economy of salvation, and an interest in your own eternal well-being and would follow the Savior, then here's where you are to labor. And labor diligently. Give all diligence to make your calling and election sure. And if you do, you will never fail. The recompense will be the same for the one as for the other. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He bless his word to us. Eternal One, bless our thoughts upon it. On the word, forgive what is amiss. Bless anything said that was in accordance with thy mind. Take us to our abodes in safety. Be with us throughout the Sabbath day, the rest of the Sabbath. May we be diligent in our business, fervent in business, serving the Lord. Make us diligent by grace in the vineyard of Christ. the good household who has given us so many blessings, who has called us on the footing of free grace, if it was on merit, there would be no stand. Oh, bless our thoughts upon the scriptures, be with all the people. Pardon our sins, bless us, keep us, for Jesus' sake, amen.